We have a report. Jim Couch. Kyle. Present. Teresa.
Yeah.
Good.
This is a super bad connection. I can hardly being said, so.
Yeah, we can barely hear you, but we'll turn our volume up on our side. Must be in a fun place with a bad connection.
I'm on the road, so I probably am in a bad connection.
We don't have a quorum. We do not have a quorum, so yes, we have Rocky and Amy.
Yes, so we will not be able to approve the minutes to June, July, or is there anything on the agenda that you want to modify or edit prior to speaking up?
I'm okay with what we get.
Okay.
Public comment.
So do we have anyone on the line, Amy, that's identified? All right. And in the room, I think we have two people that want to have public comments. So I think Mr. DAV.
Can I go last?
You go last? Sure. Ma'am, would you like to speak up? Could actually come up just because of the voice doesn't carry well.
Yes.
Yeah, those big clouds, yeah. Thank you.
Am I disconnected?
That's Albana.
ALDONA.
Albana, thank you.
Frizzell, FRIDZLL.
The Northeast 58, so that would be north of Orchards?
Yes.
Okay.
So I live directly right across from the Orchards Park. And if you're on the road, you could actually see where the gravel begins to private road. And I live at the very end of that road and right across from my house. They put together a receipt track. I'm here because that has been a world of problems ever since that has gone in. From people coming all hours, day, night, every single day, 7 days a week. They put up, it's on Facebook. So people are coming from far places, Portland, all kinds of riffraff. Day and night, we had to go out there and be like, who's out there? You know, our dogs are going crazy. And they literally just come park, like in our front yard. And they're there to find that RC park. During the day, there's many, many people that come constantly, and it's 7 days a week. And it's early morning, 6 in the morning, till like 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night. They don't leave when it's dark. They don't follow the rules. I literally have a covered porch on the front of my house, the way that the house is set up. And it's probably 20 feet straight across from my porch that this RC track is. So like yesterday, for example, I was pressure washing the house. I have a week off. I have a bunch of things I want to get done. And as I'm pressure washing that house, there's probably a handful of people there yesterday playing with the dirt track, and the dust cloud is just, you can't even see through it. And I am, you know, can't breathe, can't see through it, layer of dust on our cars constantly. The noise is horrible. When you have people there on the weekends, Thursday, Friday evenings, right after work, you have people who have it to be peaceful, and there's multitude of people and the race cars, even though they're not gas powered, they're super loud. You get 10 to 15 or quite a few of them, you know, you can't even count sometimes. And they're crashing into each other, and they're going, and they're really loud. I go into the backyard to get away from it, and you still can't get away from it. And then the dust, and then also on top of that, which is really bothersome, the parking issue. They come and park right in front of my house. I can't even sometimes get through to get to where I normally park, because they park, even though the road goes like this, they park kind of like if they make their own parking lot, and then they park two cars, three cars deep on the other side. All of the neighbors have talked to them, asked them that, you know, we want our privacy, we want our peace, there's no peace anymore. Our privacy feels very invaded. My house has been, you know, robbed in the past, burglarized, And so we have dogs. My dogs can no longer go outside because people have made a little, like, literally we park right here and people come park and they walk through the bushes, which they kind of have down trails, walk through the bushes, and my dogs, if we're outside on the porch, go running towards all these strangers that are never there before. We've been there for 4 years. The track has been there less than a year because I wasn't here last summer. And no matter what I do, I continuously talk to these people and ask them to park where the park parking is. And I basically get, and you clipped off, just shut up, Karen, all sorts of nasty things. And it's scary and creepy. Like, and then at nighttime when these people come, it's like, and I'm alone sometimes, it's not fun. And it's, you know, when housing being super expensive, it's like moving or buying a house. Right at the moment for me, it's not an option. So we're there, and it's, you know, every neighbor's talked to these folks that come and go constantly, ask them for at least park over parking where the park has parking, and there's always a fight, always a fight. So we stop 12, get the gates, something, but they're also not cheap, and from the county and everything,
so it's a little boring. So for Park Advisory Board, to what I understand of my knowledge of this site is and interactions, and then you know, continue to look into this and identify it. So I know another thing is that this track had been there years. It wasn't reduced as much last year. We did have someone still did it.
Promise you.
That wanted to update at the same time that we were looking to do that. We had a crew go through there and reduce vegetation. So we cleaned up vegetation along that side. And around the same time is when the course was reinstituted, I'll call it. And there has been a lot of use. There's a lot of friction with that use when it first started out. There was some altercations between a neighbor and users, as well as threats against staff, and there was a threat against staff, and so it complicated some of our interactions for safety of staff. And that what I recall last fall was it is a right of way, but it's not been improved, so therefore it remains to be a private road according to Crab County Code. Stands for. And so there was installation of a, at least at that time, there was a thought of putting in gates or something to block it, because people are coming down public road right away, bypassing the parking lot, smaller parking lot, and then going towards closer to where this is. That is a use return extinguisher. We were looking at putting into our capital budget this issue of a chain link fence to eliminate that access there in that site. We are going through our capital planning process project and identifying that site and other look at that place and other things. And I know our staff is out there yesterday.
We spoke.
Yeah. Having some of this conversation. So it is something that we're going to continue to work on and identify a long-term strategy. And it is that balance. And, you know, I think part of the communications got disrupted when there was someone who had threatened staff. And there was some altercation and there was like other things going on there. So that definitely did impede our related to behavior. So I don't think just coming in here and able to walk me through the concerns that you have as a neighbor. And if you viewed the future and saw something that was an improvement, what would that look like?
Really nice for the reason that they do park right there and they make trails like really pretty much where we live, and it makes Trying to get through to our own parking, to the dogs being out in their own yard and things like that. We tried to put up a fence ourselves when we were told we can't at this point because it's our property. So I don't know. What's happening with?
I know there was last fall there was some discussion with one of the neighbors about the fence and. It was identified as direct right of way, but my understanding is that we had communicated back that it's until the children right away that is still their property kind of used. With the limitation, of course, that if the roads improve in the future, we are trying to improve that line. I think the vegetation was so thick on that side. Another issue that we're working with there is the houseless. We had a large camp that has been this summer twice, I think, that was on road right away. It's washed out property, and I think now it's on our property as well. So we were continuing against that. We have, we'll call them vendors, who are giving away stuff right there in the park and doing Good Samaritan work that is providing camping tools for people. About six blocks away is one of those, I'm going to call them a trailer village. But the right term, they got a better word for it.
I don't want to say rest village. I don't know what they call them here.
So they're small little things. And we saw a spike in use after that came up because people were coming to get into that. And if they were not admitted, because of its actual proximity to the services. And I have I 205 and it was and it flux of alternative recreation
activity. I believe Lindy's coming out there this week with his contractor to look at the project and get it in state contractor on a better list. So
I kind of looked into it.
Not tear down the bushes that have actually grown halfway back until you put at least the fence in there, because that when that vegetation was cut, which we thought that's going to help out with the homeless population, it like instantly attracted all the rest of the foot traffic, and then it became crazy worse, including the homeless, which actually there was several. It was just a two hands full of groups of homeless people that were trying to camp out on our property, actually, like right at the end of that road in the little turn.
Right.
And they actually tried to set up. We'd come home and they've already set up. We're like, you get, gotta get out of here. Like, this is not good. Or it really going into our backyard.
And what I can say is that if you if there are uses that are outside of our rules, continue to contact law enforcement. Either there's a non-emergent line as well that you can call. All of those calls, whether they feel like they are not being responded to, it is data that helps support our position in regards to different needs that we have. So there are results that occur long term in regards to public agreements. Is a tool as well.
Yes, so I feel like the caravan constantly calling and complaining to get something done.
Right, and I know that the Neighborhood Association is having a meeting on August 20th at 10 a.m. at the park, and I'm going to be there, and I know that they want to talk about many of the issues that are surrounding the area. The RC Park was not one of those that I understood being identified, but in, as a resident of that area, that's part of your neighborhood, so I would encourage you. And that's the Maple Grove Neighborhood Association. It has their names in bar, Maple something, that kind.
You go to the Neighborhood Association page, and I believe you can quickly put your address in the Neighborhood Association.
Right. I don't know, somebody died of Maple with the name collection. The Maple Grove one is another. That's where that is next about around.
Yeah, that's about right. There's a maple something right across from you guys, or I can't remember the name of it. It's Maple something. That, are you talking about Orchard Park then?
Yeah, it's at Orchard.
Yes, I don't think that'd be the same.
Anyway, well, maybe in the email I got, they transcribed a couple of their. All I know, August 20th, 10 a.m. at Orchard Park. It's going to be a show thing there. You're going to see Rock. You're going to see Matt. Yeah. Me not, but all right. Other things except for extinguishing the user.
With the dust, with their music that they're constantly blaring, with their smoking, whether it's cigarettes or marijuana, and drinking alcohol, just rowdiness. It's just, there's no peace. We're, we want union, we want peace, we want to feel safe. These individuals, and most that I've ever encountered, are not very pleasant to talk to or not very willing to listen. They feel they have the right to be there. It's not my property. So go away there. Basically, it's what I get. And really, it ties my hands and life is not as good.
Aware of the issues. I've been aware of some of these issues since last fall, and was quieted down there over the winter, and from communication to
it's the maple tree. You have the
maple tree.
I just looked it up on the river, so they can.
Well, just one tree, not a whole tree.
On the river, just a single tree.
So the other neighbors in Meadville is quieted down, but it is literally directly right in front of my house. So, you know, even if there's just a handful of people, and even if they do park at the parking, where the parking is, it's still right straight in front of my house. So it's still dusty, it's still noisy, it's still smelly, and
all right, we'll work on it, and things go slowly sometimes, so be. Thank you guys for your patience.
I've never been to one.
You're a good Jedi. But you don't have to sit at the table anymore. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. We have one more.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Board. My name is Bruce Moss, M-A-A-S. I'm a member of the Clark County Veterans Advisory Board here in Vancouver, and I'm also a member of the Disabled American Veterans Chapter Number 4. I'm the secretary for a group that just meets down the roadways down at 48. I just wanted to stop by and congratulate you folks for recently approving the parking situation at our four county parks, for allowing disabled veterans to waive their parking fees coming on in. I happen to have an example here in front of me that shows the ice state pass for the parks that I have, plus the placard that can be held on that the Forest Service gives to visitors from visiting forest lands. I also have a park pass that I used last year. So doing part of that. I actually was made aware of this change in the parking fee back in May when Vice Chair Greg Medjidi of the Clark County Council attended our meeting and said something about the free parking labs. So it kind of got me a little surprised that, you know, we finally got around to doing something like this, and I really appreciate it. I heard that Terry, Alan Blatt, also provided some responses for last month. I personally was involved with the veterans community here in Vancouver, Clark County as well, so I had a chance to come along a little bit throughout the years. The only concern that I do have as we're implementing the parking situation is that some of the staff would like to make sure that our placards are properly displayed in our windshields and our vehicles, and sometimes putting the card down on the dashboard may be the only thing that we can do at the immediate time. But if we can kind of work with the county a little bit, see if we can't get our own placard like we're issuing with federal folks, so that would be helpful. So it hangs up there on the mirror
So we're utilizing the state's pass?
Yeah.
Does the state not issue one? In Oregon, they issue a placard and a little park for the years holds into it. They don't do that in Washington.
I don't think they do. This is a card that I got back way in 2002. It was over 20 years ago. They've updated the card and stuff, but I don't know if the state's providing a placard or things like that, but it would be something that people might want to take into consideration, because the last thing we need to have is a veteran visiting one of our board parks and all of a sudden get citation because didn't show proof of payment or anything like that.
Right.
It's plainly concerned.
We'll check in with state parks, because my understanding is that they had a money check.
Something that we can use.
And we're just, so that you don't have to jump through another set of bureaucratic hoops.
Right.
We're trying to utilize their pass and their program so that then you get a two free. You get all the state parks plus our county parks.
Yeah.
With the single thing. And so my understanding was they had placards that's consistent with how they do it in Oregon. Sorry, I've only been here a year, so I don't have all of those initiatives. There, I guess that word for you. Figured out, but we'll look into the placard.
Okay. And since I've been a member of the Disabled American Veterans Center in Vancouver for a long time, we haven't heard of anybody about joining the parks or having issued disability or access like that. So I haven't heard of anything like that coming up from our community. And we haven't heard anything, same thing either from the collecting veterans advisory. So we'll do a follow-up on this at our board meeting coming up on Thursday afternoon in downtown Vancouver. I am going to leave your staff person my contact information for Disabled American Veterans Forum. Emily Langston is the program coordinator for our veterans community here in Vancouver, Clark County. That's it. I appreciate coming before this board and discussing this.
Thank you.
Change.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any more public comment?
You're up.
All right. Department update. I'll try to keep it quick. It's, you know, it's cooler out today. You know, it's also this air conditioning too long. So work continues. We have three current open positions. I think we're, which is great. You know, from a year ago, I think we had about 9 or 11 open positions. We are, I think, made an offer on at least two of those, so we're hoping to get back at it to 100% here in the next 60 days. It's been hot, been really hot. Our parks seem to be fairly well. And unlike that big sap last year, 115 degrees, that really boogered up our trees. But things seem to be going out there well. We're concerned because, you know, fire season, this continues to become more and more of a prevalent issue. We're starting to see those, of course, in Oregon pop up. We've got a lot of acquisitions sort of in the process in regards primarily to the legacy land. We'll look at some of those today. We'll have staff reports on those. Right now, in our budgeting process for fiscal year 23, we are just in the internal process, almost ready to submit everything to the county manager. And so that looks to continue to be going well. Most of our change requests, which are additions to the budgets, continue to get support internally, and that'll continue on to the county manager and to the council. Once we have some sort of numbers that we can throw out in front of the whole thing, we'll present that. And that'll probably be October-ish. October, November meeting right before the hearing is probably to go that probably gets finalized once everybody's like.
I'm talking about that later.
Yes, and we have a capital plan update that's talking today. And lastly, I think I'll talk about is that in the last week we've had a resignation of our public works director. So Eva is moving on. And as such, there is a national recruitment occurring. And we have our deputy county manager stepping up in the interim, and that is Amber Emery. She just stepped into this position as the deputy county manager in the last quarter. Before that, she was a trial court administrator for Clark County and has a long career in the judicial court system in
party in front of it. So, what's that mean for us? For park stage, everything's still all good.
This was one of 3 days of years.
I've only been here for 13 months, sir, so I have denied to understand anything that you're talking about. I believe that there has been some transition. And all I know is that things are being put in place in public works in the county. It is going to lead to stability with systems in place and processes. And there's this little things behind this sort of, starting to come in then to the COVID. So we're getting through the COVID elements. And there was a lot of quirky things throughout the nation, of course. We were all recovering as part of that. There's a lot, and there's change. There's three things I think. There's death, taxes, and change. Continue to work through that and put our focus on our patrons and our community members who will be able to provide the best space possible. With that, I think we're ready to move on to unfinished business. For unfinished business, if I may, please. We've got a bunch of stuff in here that, because we didn't have a quorum, kind of left in the hopper, so to speak. And some of these things, actions already occurred on them, and I just want to update that. And then maybe we can pin in it, meaning that we will not have it as the unfinished business. So Shalachi Prairie Railroad, that trust land transfer, DNR, and made a decision. They're piloting a new program, then made a decision to our project that we submitted back in 2018. So it's still there, and we're hoping next year or 2 years, whatever the process is, that we'll get plumped in. We have another transfer we're working on, and that's coming along nicely. The Dogwood Deer Park, we'll bring that back to you all prior before we go to council on that one, so that will take off the unfinished. We're now working on a donation agreement and that process through the Tyler Works to get that. So that's probably somewhere between 90 days and 180 days out until I finally said I probably that touch it. The Harmony Sports Complex site plan, was that heard on 82? Or it's A16. Sorry, I got so many agenda items. But that's been moved forward to council. We incorporated the non-forum input from that. Just as a side note, that project, we got 60% budget engineer's estimate, and it was crazy high. So we are in a process of right sizing that difference. And then the parking fee that was adopted by council. Not that we need to. I'm going to push those off the unfinished item. That's going to be able to the board, back with Teresa and Don. Formal. New business item. So I will bring forward Danielle, who is our land use coordinator, who will be presenting the Bennett property donation item. And does everyone have that in front of you, or do we need to do the little screen showy sharing thing? We're good? All right.
I have it. Thanks.
I have it.
All right. And with that, floor is yours, ma'am.
Danielle Calvi, for the record. So we're looking at the Bennett family parcel. They came to me looking to potentially donate their two pieces of property in the Salmon Creek area. This is adjacent to Stewart and Bliss Road in Salmon Creek, north of Salmon Creek Greenway. This potential donation would be 3.88 acres. is next to a clean water piece of their property, and then it is packaged next to the county's real property services lands. This has got two streams in it. One is kind of, they're kind of both unnamed. They flow into Salmon Creek drainage. It's, I have walked the property. It has some topography in it where it is kind of ravine-like. It is treed, and it has been recently surveyed. Talking with the lawyers, the one that's discussing this with me, she changed her, I guess the family is still trying to figure out how they want to deal with this donation. They've talked about potentially a bargain sale, or even just a sale or a donation. So this is a little up in the air still with the family in terms of what they want to do, but they wanted to proceed forward with this conversation with First Advisory. So I guess what I am needing from staff is a recommendation to move forward with discussing this with the property and trying to come up with a purchase and sale agreement. Is there any questions about this piece of property?
So I think it'd be a natural space property.
Yes, sorry. Natural space, not, you know, there may be potential for passive recreation if we can acquire more to it adjacent. There's a property to the north I would love to snag, but it's pretty much a natural piece of property.
Danielle, would this donation require an amendment or an update to our natural areas acquisition plan?
Yes. So just like any of the other ones we've been discussing, we'll have to do that.
So there's not a quorum here today, but what would occur is that we were to accept this property and their recommendation from you. When we went to council, we would have an update of the natural areas acquisition plan prior to any signing off of a purchase and sale agreement or donation.
Is there any reason we would accept it?
For this parcel, I think it meets our criteria. I think the things that we would be looking at typically would be, is there something with the property that's contentious? You know, maybe it's an old brownfield or a lot of other junk on it or something like that. Or somehow it's in a spot where it's all in people's backyards, and so it's contributed to be construed as a attractive nuisance. Kind of like the RC track is, but then that would be an issue there. But I believe our field assessment of it and our review of our subarea plans for our acquisition plan, this is consistent with sort of what we're needing. And in this area, this is within this 5th District 8.
Yeah.
And again, this would help us meet if we when we transfer it by my jacket to parks for our CCPD, it would help us meet our natural areas that we are efficient on CCPD.
Where is the county property in relation to this?
It's to the, so sorry, I didn't identify it on the map, but like if you
see the blue line,
see the blue line right here, it's off to the right. It's basically there's a guardrail there that comes down the hill.
Oh, okay.
We have a tiny little triangle that county says. And then on the opposite side of the yellow is the stormwater asset. Okay. So that's actually the sandwich between the two. And I did put in budget for title and or appraisal required for the, like a donation for the property, for the property owners.
And I know we don't have a voting opportunity, but if members of PMU who are here can either voice support or concern, that we really just have that reference moving forward. If you look at this doesn't perform, but we have personally in favor of the conference. Don?
I'm all in favor of it. No issues.
Thank you, Don.
Teresa?
I'm in favor of it also.
All right, thank you.
I'm just trying to find it on the map and without someone helping me guide me in there, a little bit difficult, but it's okay.
I still think it is a screen. We could share the screen and do that.
No, it's not necessary.
All right.
The next one, the next one's a Sandor property. This is Lynn Sandor came to me. She has a piece of property that was given to her back. It's a family piece that was given to her back when they dredged Vancouver Lake and they created some of the banks along the outer edge of the lake. Well, all the adjacent property owners were given those pieces of land. That's how that was done. This is the last private piece of the property sandwiched between us and the port of Vancouver on the east side of Vancouver Lake. And it matches with the Lewis and Clark master trail concept, as well as the Lake River. She's offering a bargain sale for the assessed price, really reasonably priced, and then I added in a appraisal and then paperwork for real property services for them to complete that work.
And this potential acquisition is consistent with our natural areas acquisition plan, so there would not be, this is just an opportunity that arose within that acquisition. Okay.
Yeah, and it actually, so the connection spot would be potentially for Vancouver Lake Trail as well. So there's, that gives us a couple accesses or a couple opportunities. The access from it is west of Burlington Northern's tracks. So there's no otherwise water access, there's no access to it otherwise. So it is completely landlocked with the NSF and the lake or county or port properties.
So the value is that it provides habitat.
Yes.
And it also maintains the view shed from a recreational perspective.
Yes.
And it does connect
for the water view, for the water trail. So yeah, going along the water trail.
For the water trail. Yep. Feet of shoreline, so it does give us some shoreline potential there as well. So I think the same thing would be true for this one, is a recommendation to move forward with this acquisition. This one to me makes sense.
All right. So likewise, we'll ask each member to
okay.
Me too.
Don?
A question.
Yep.
So that assessed value, given what we all know here recent times of property values in Clark County, I'm looking at the property, it doesn't seem to be usable except for what we've noted, and that price is a little bit high. Just some thoughts and some conversation.
Yeah, what's weird is, Don, is that the 2022 assessed value is higher than that, and she's offering it at the 2021 assessed value, and she's just trying to get out people out of the state. Yeah. She's not trying to make money, I don't think, but I think with the appraisal, we have to do an appraisal anyways, and those are the conversations we have.
So
no, that's good info, because appraised value, that's why I was asking. Without a time reference, it doesn't really mean too much, does it?
Like it's grabbing the speaker in the box and stuff.
Teresa, any comments?
I'm good with it.
Not getting close to making my turn.
I still didn't understand what he said, so it's okay.
Are you asking? Are you asking me? I didn't quite hear.
Yeah, we're just checking with our volume here because it's.
No problem. I was just curious of the assessed value is all, that we were getting a fair deal, because it seems to me that 2022 and beyond, a little bit inflated property values, and that property piece, I'm not familiar with it intimately, but on the map, it just doesn't seem to be really of much use, especially with the railroad going right by it.
Yeah, and I, for other transactions we've had for, we'll call it riparian area, not developable, undevelopable land, it's somewhere between 5,000 to 12,000 acres, depending upon if there's some portion of it, you know, it can go a little bit higher if there is a portion that's attached that is somewhat developed. So you're right, it's in the middle of the potential, but we'll have a what they call a desk audit appraisal
for right.
size to do that, and then based off of that information, we'll be able to make an offer based off of ensuring that we're getting market value or less. I guess they could always say no, we'll take this price and not look at the appraisal was higher. We got a process to do that.
Yep.
Perfect. I guess the next one is the Nugent Green Mountain property.
Yes.
So this one is dynamic, and Danielle will talk to you all about that one.
So the Nugent property is adjacent to Green Mountain. We have used that property in the past with the previous owner for forestry applications, maintenance, access in general to Green Mountain. Green Mountain currently is landlocked. We don't have access at all on the property. There's a brand new home development going in on the south side where the old golf course used to be. The Nugents listed their property, and within 8 days, we got approval to provide an offer letter. We were a few days short, and someone beat us to it. We were trying to pick up this piece of property for public access, forest management activities, recreation, and maintenance activities. So now we've pivoted to talk about this piece in general, see if we can work with the new property owners to get access through it, like kind of purchasing an easement right. We recognize with the development pressure in the neighborhood with that big development going in and with City of Camas buying their pieces, we're going to have a lot of people wanting to be on that property, and we already have people on that property. So the intent is to try to see what we can do for access, for maintenance, and or recreation. And the Nugent's property offers great access on 500. So it was great for access for a lot of things for us. So that's kind of where we're at. We are trying to be a little bit dynamic, like Rocky said, and look at other strategies and other pieces, and how do we, besides Nugent's, how do we look at maintenance activities and or public access?
So this parcel is not identified in our natural areas acquisition plan. This would require us to update that if we were to make a transaction to provide that. It is critical for fire protection and suppression, as well as forest management and maintenance of it, because the other potential access, the City of Camas has a parcel and the school district has a parcel that are adjoining it, but those would not permit due to topography and those use types any vehicular maintenance access and or any forest practices access. So that is where this side of the property, you know, it's encumbered with the BPA line under the Nugent. So that was a great opportunity, but it had a one potential home site that could be developed on it, and jumped faster than we should. So we made an offer. It was late. But you know, so I think what we're looking at is that a recognition that that access to Green Mountain is a management need, and Kevin's got his hand up.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that portions of the BPA easement already contain a gravel access road into Green Mountain that was constructed as part of the forest management operations back in 2015, I want to say. So it does provides a great opportunity for maintenance access, all types of access, essentially, if we can work with this new property owner to gain an easement through the property and BPA at the same time.
See what else? DNR, this was a DNR transfer. So this was sort of a parcel, what they call an orphan parcel that was transferred to us back in 05. Is that right? Kevin?
That sounds right. I'd have to check the deed, but yeah, it was at least 15 years ago. Yeah.
So anyway, the same scenario as if access is it just get your guys' feedback to
anything. My question would be what was brought up was the recreation side of the house and developing that for recreation. I think would be, I'm familiar with this piece of property more than the Vancouver Lake one. But I think that would just be a lot of work, and that's a long-term project that's going to require a lot of funding. Is that something that we would look at and forecast out like a 5 or 10 year plan?
Good question, Don. And so question for others in the audience is if this is going to be a recreational site, do we have a forecast a plan momentarily to meet that need? And yes and no, we don't have that number in front of you today, of course, but what we have done has been working since I think at least 2014 with the neighbors, and they've volunteered been developing a trail system up there. We were out there with the city of Vancouver, the school district, not Vancouver, Camas, and the school district looking at that system that's been developed. The good news is they're pretty good shape considering other than what it could be in it. So now we're currently working on trying to get a adopt a park agreement for that volunteer effort to kind of continue to gain control of that. This does dovetail into our trails team that we are looking to have a change request to create that team in fiscal year 23, and we've been piloting this year. So that team would be stepping into that role, assisting in that maintenance. We're looking to utilize the city of Camas's investment as the primary trailhead and access on the west side. And then on the south side there, the neighborhood has some road right-of-ways are kind of a butt.
Right.
We would have to create some trails there. The topography is such that it's not maybe the best trail alignment, that would be those other access points. And that's where, unfortunately, all those are pinch points from getting a front back in there to do some heavy.
That particular area seems to be a magnet for rogue RVs and some other things every once in a while. You know, if you build it, they will come kind of thing. And I like the idea of legitimizing some of these rogue trails, just get them on a management plan, and just benefits everybody, forest health and the resilience, et cetera. So, yeah, I like it.
All right.
So we're looking basically just getting easement access.
Okay. Yeah. And if this property is
like we need to work with the new property owners because it just closed on the 1st of August. So
what if they don't give you an access?
Then we'll have to go with the plan B.
So there's another property owner that on the south end. And if that doesn't work, if those don't work out, then
not sure. Because a lot of it's been already developed.
Then I think from there is we look to this property owner maybe for a one-time permit, access permit for a forest management. So we do have something coming up in the next 3 years. You know, it's a 50-year cycle, but we have some management needs up there. So I know in other jurisdictions I've worked with them for a one-time sort of permit just be for that operation, and that's how the road got developed in 2015 as well. So that would be a benefit to them as well in improving that road. What do you think, Teresa?
Yeah, my only concern also was if these access roads don't get, you know, legitimate eyes, then they would become magnets for RVs and whatever. So I agree with Don. This is a good idea.
We'll keep the RVs, you know, far to the east. Jones Creek, right? That's the water. Is that not Mike? Mm-hmm. All right. I guess now we have item D on new business, which is the Cozy Camp neighborhood easement vacation / surplus. Mr. Stein. We're going to share the screen and project a PowerPoint. Can you guys see that all right?
I don't see anything.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Well, it's the share button. Yeah.
I got that one. Which one?
The one that you see
Don
in, and then you'll
see. Just tell us what slide you're on. We can. Oh, there it goes. Yep, you're up now.
There we go. We're getting her done.
I would think with the Nugent property, you'd be able to go in from the 55 plus community there, Rocky.
Oh. Danielle's writing that down.
Where's that?
The 55 plus community for the Nugent access.
So, members of the board, my name is David Stipe. I'm the planning and development manager for Parks and Lands. Daniel's been talking about buying property. I'm here today to talk to you about selling a little sliver of property. So, as you probably realized, Cozy Camp Neighborhood Park is currently being developed. It's a 5-acre neighborhood park. Just a little bit of background for you, the land was acquired in 2003, and we went through our design and approval process and COVID, and we actually got to the point where we started construction almost 20 years later. This park was master planned originally. Next slide. Has Stanton Park, because the property was purchased from the Stantons. During the public process for the park, master plan development, the name of Cozy Camp was sort of inherited, for lack of a better term.
Voted one.
If you look at the graphic that you see on the screen, there's two neighborhood accesses. This somewhat represents the sort of the vision for the neighborhood accesses. And if you go to the next slide, this is the realization of that. There's to the northeast corner, into the neighborhood to the west, or northwest corner to the neighborhood to the west. There's a road right away that we're developing that neighborhood access in. That neighborhood was platted, and homes were developed in that neighborhood after we purchased the master plan of the property. So that's why that neighborhood access moved. In the lower right hand corner of the graphic, you see a real thin sliver of easement between two lots. Not the best
graphic. Go back one.
If you go, yeah, you can go back one. You can see it there in the gray line down into that southern neighborhood. That neighborhood was also platted after this park was acquired, master plan, and the homes were developed subsequent to the development of the master plan. If you go two slides at this point, this is a close up of that style. East corner of the property, and you can see that path D. There's a little intersection off and running toward that that easement. So that easement actually exists, but in the sort of pre-planning for the development of this park, we realized we probably had an encroachment issue in that easement because of the neighbors that built
the developers that built the homes. And we did in fact have an encroachment issue. So Real Property Services surveyed the property, surveyed the easement, and provided us with some staking on site. If you go to the next slide. And you can see some orange rectangles there. There's a couple of temporary structures. They're both basically Rubbermaid sheds. We were concerned that that home, that outbuilding, which is a two-car garage to the east, right-hand side of the easement, was in the easement itself, but it turns out it isn't. But the eave of that building overhangs the easement. And then you see a very faint shadow that runs from the northeast corner of the easement to the southwest corner of the easement. Well, that's the fence that was built by the developer. And so that fence is entirely encroaching in the easement. And there's some topography that we would need to deal with in this easement. And there's also a 10-foot gate that provides access to that two-car garage in the backyard of the home to the east. This easement provides access to 16 or 17 homes in this sort of two cul-de-sac development. And there's the potential to just go around on 29th. The full road section has been developed there. There's a sidewalk there. There's a parking, there's parallel parking on the road. And there's some well-established trees there. And after having a conversation with Rocky and Real Property Services, Rocky's taken this to the property committee. Staff's recommendation is to work with Real Property Services to vacate this right-of-way surplus. It, in fact, I'll work with the adjacent property owners to compensate the park district for their fair share, so we don't have to tear down the fence, we don't limit the backyard access for the person's two-car garage, and we don't have a driveway encroachment as well, because the driveway of the easement, purchase of the easement, homeowner would be able to park in that part of the driveway. So the development of the park does include a connection in that southeast corner of the park to the existing sidewalk that is on 29th. So it's already there, the connection will be already made. So our next step after discussing this with you and receiving some input from you is to take this to a council and go through the property process, which requires a boundary line, actually a plat amendment. And fair compensation for the land, and we won't be giving this land, this little sliver of land or these two little triangles of land to the adjacent property owners, because legally we can't do that.
And we talked to the adjacent property owners.
I have been in contact with both of the property owners throughout this process. It really all started when the home to the west asked us for a gate agreement to come into the park. And we discovered that we had this encroachment issue. And so they've been very patient, nervous at times, especially the homeowners to the east, because they were worried that that two-car garage that we built after the fact was encroaching.
I think they just purchased the home too. So they...
Yeah, they hadn't moved in when they found out about this encroachment. And so we felt like we can provide a reasonable, safe access to the park for these 16 homes by just simply going 240 feet up down 29th Street and avoid potential litigation, be good neighbors, and in the process, save quite a bit of time in trying to develop this corridor.
Is the developer liable for the cost of the purchase for all of this homeowners? Or is
it? We've been
a long time ago.
We would leave that up to the homeowners to decide how how they deal with it. The homeowner to the east obviously has more to lose than the homeowner to the west, but we're not going to recommend strategies for compensation. I have told them, I've reviewed all of the building permit documentation and the plat documentation and the record. And it's hard to tell where the mistake was made. Each building permit has the correct meets and bounds on the line that they're supposed to be set back from, which was the easement line. They just didn't show the easement next to it. And so each one of them sort of went easement off and they guessed.
I think the word.
What's that?
It's crazy that
I suggested to the homeowners who had moved in, I said, you need to talk to your title company because they were really concerned about the cost of tearing down a building or tearing down apartment.
Buying property.
Yeah. Or buying the property. So.
Yeah, and I think where the developer messed up is there should have been two fences.
One
clearly delineated the 10 feet.
Yeah, they got the corners right. They just built one fence instead of two.
And yeah, they went from
two of the corners right.
The southwest corner to the northeast corner.
Yeah.
They're in the middle, almost 45.
And this is not uncommon to have encroachments. You're probably aware. We've actually had an encroachment not too long ago where our fence was on somebody's property and we moved it off.
Any comments from the site report? Don?
I think the Vaughns are pretty nervous. But did I hear you correct, Steve? You said we would, the county would provide compensation for those little buildings that we're seeing, like those non-permanent sheds as we punch in through there.
See, what we're looking to do is not touch that and sell them the right of way.
Oh yeah, yeah, right.
The two neighbors to split it down the middle, or how they figure it out.
And then we would punch in from the 29th.
Yeah. And that's already part of our project. So
they would be responsible for the cost of the plat, the plat amendment as well. And then they would pay the appraisal value for residential land.
Yeah. Okay, that's the clarity I was looking for. Thanks. I think it's all right. I mean, it's not on them, but it's not going to impact the project that much. At this point, but in the future, as 29th gets more busy, that it could become an issue. But I mean, I don't see that in the foreseeable 10 or 15 years.
True. And that right at our park is where the sort of road development changes as well. It turns back into more of a country road.
Yeah. We're not doing frontage improvements. We're doing, we have done trail instead of sidewalk.
So yeah.
There's curb and gutter, but it's not attached.
And you would only be able to go in from the one direction, not both?
So you right now, if we were to do this, you'd be able to access from 29th there off of that southeast corner. And then on the northwest corner, we have a public access on 23rd and 175th.
Yeah. The problem is those two neighborhoods don't connect. There's this little 17 lot subdivision is three cul-de-sacs there's no through street.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people in this neighborhood couldn't use the connection from the northwest corner, unfortunately.
Well, couldn't use it with their vehicles.
Or people too. Yes. It's not. And then on our southwest corner, we have a wetland, which would be the ideal place to have another access point to this park. But there's a wetland, so we can't.
There's currently an opening in the fence there that we're going to close because we can't have access to the wetland.
Yeah.
We shut that group in there.
Yeah.
But so the street coming in. Future Street, 27th, I guess.
There is a, that's 174?
175th. It's 175th
that But that strip, that road right there, it was, that's in the concept plan. And so what happened is that got, when they platted the neighborhood, sorry, you guys online can't see it. It went that way.
Okay.
Yeah, just so that, the concept plan, that 23rd, it is no longer that way. That's kind of ground.
Gotcha. But that street doesn't go through. That's yeah. why the neighborhoods aren't connected.
Yep. That western.
See that cul-de-sac that's mm-hmm. sort of knotted in there?
Yes.
That's how it was developed.
Gotcha.
And then there's a hole where that road was supposed to connect. Okay. Pretty common for
developers. Back in the wooded.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one likes three streets. That's just horrible. Kind of cul-de-sac. There's a ton of cul-de-sacs in that corner now, too. But we own a bunch of legacy lands back into there and these water parcels. And
yeah.
Gotta go down a dead end street that looks like a flag lot, and then boom, here keeps going.
So,
Tracy, did you have more comments? I thought I heard you say something, ma'am.
I was just wondering also on this cul-de-sac. So we would not be having an access there at all. The no. people that have their little sheds and things, they would just stay, and that would not be an access to this park.
Correct.
And so that people that would only access from those two corners, and they would just have sidewalk, like crosswalks over the road. There's no parking connected to this in any way. It's just like a neighborhood park. Got it. Yeah. All right. I would think the cul-de-sac people would not want the access just because they wouldn't want people parking in their cul-de-sac. So they would, it's a win for them.
Yeah, it's a win for them on a few sides for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a typical sort of modern cul-de-sac, though. There's like only two spots on the curb where you could park. Yeah. Everything else is driving.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So,
yeah. All right. Next up, we have the fiscal year 23-28 capital budget update, and David's swinging at that one.
I'm going to keep going.
You have to go back to sharing. Sharing is caring on this?
No, we don't need to do that. Okay. We don't have a presentation. So you can just follow along in your agenda item. This is the first time that that we're bringing this to the Parks Advisory Board. We're starting a public process to review the 2023 budget, basically, that's part of the capital improvement plan. The new process for us is to revise our capital improvement plan annually, even though it's a 6-year plan. What we do is, what we've done in this case is in 22, perfect 23, and we project 28. So this is a 23-28 CIP, basically an amendment to the current 22-27 CIP. So we're going to the public to get comments. And the comment period opens with a legal notice that's provided, the schedule is provided in your agenda item on the 26th. And we're going to have a public hearing, open house meeting. We haven't decided the format yet, here on the 15th in this room. And then the public comment period will close on the 26th. Gives us a week or so to compile the comments and come back to you to discuss the public's opinion and feedback on the 23, primarily the 23 budget. Get some input from you all. Maybe we'll have a forum by then, and we can actually get a recommendation from you to take that 23-28 CIP to council for amendment sometime October, November, December. We haven't really gotten a firm handle on the budget review process with the council just yet. I did provide a draft, very small, for you to
send you an email.
Leave your magnifying glass on them.
Yes.
This will be posted on the website for our public process, which we're working on with our communications team. I did outline some of the noticeable differences between the 23 and our 22 and 23 budget. There's some bulleted items there. We did put some money in to do some public access improvements at Heritage Farm. They're sort of in conjunction with the wetland project that's going on out there, which I believe you've been briefed on. That may not happen in 23, but we probably get some design and some permitting work. We want to be ready to make those improvements on the heels of the wetland improvement. So we're dealing with the least restrictive buffers when we're making trail and restroom building and shelter in the north, in this corner of the site. The park development at Kirkwood Creek was planned in 24. Looks like we might be ready in 23. We want to have the flexibility to bid that in 23, given the crazy bidding environment. It's totally possible that we don't build it in 23 because the bids are still real unpredictable and real volatile. And so it may end up back in 24, but this gives us the flexibility to do the construction in 23 if we get good pricing. That's a community park that you've seen planned for that as well.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
So if you have a grant in the Parks Foundation, which I honestly have not had time to actually look at, I mean, I know that it's there.
Yeah.
If you're not going to build it in 23, are you going to know that at some point in time to change the grant to 24? Or are you still hoping to just leave that in there and make it do?
We are planning on building it in 23. I'm reading my crystal ball, like oil prices are going to come down and pavement prices are going to come down and the housing market's going to slow down enough that the labor rates and the construction trades are going to come down a little bit. And we're going to get our supply chain things all figured out for steel and pipe. And hopefully all that gets sort of ironed out and we can build that park next year.
I noticed in the paper that PDX used locally sourced steel and whatever. Is that something that the county is also looking at doing?
By local provision.
We don't have any provision for that. The port probably did that because they used federal funds in the requirement.
Yeah.
Which is, it's funny, just a side note, is that, you know, a decade ago, they were recycled steel. So everyone can recycle steel, and then they would buy an American and everyone had made it. And so there's been a real cluster. The place for equipment, with federal dollars, you know, because they would allow you to buy something that's imported from Europe or Japan or anywhere else.
So. Most of the things that we're purchasing when we construct a park, are very small quantities of pipe. Most of the time it's ABS plastic pipe for stormwater drainage. You might every once in a while be ductile iron for water connections, those sorts of things. Asphalt, which is always going to obviously be made locally.
I was just curious.
And playground equipment is.
Yeah,
that's great. So the lead time about a year, right?
Yeah, we're still waiting on raspberries, people.
So. It's being installed.
Really?
We have talked, as another aside, we have talked about buying all playground equipment well ahead of time. It's just storing it and keeping it from getting beat up and keeping track of it, to be honest with you. We have so many different shops, storage facilities. So that's a way for us to improve our timelines. Two other things, we're expanding our capacity to do preventative maintenance programs, hazard tree programs, structure preservation programs, playground renovation programs, and also applying an inflation scale to that six-year plan. So if you look at the preventative number in the 6 years, it's about 10% sort of growth. And if we don't see 10% inflation, then let's do more. The same with major maintenance. We've really sort of bolstered our major maintenance funds. We have the money behind schedule. We have a stable, fingers crossed, planning and development team. And we're ready to start taking care of some of that backlog. And so you'll also notice that number is more robust than at 122. And we've also applied inflation to that.
Do you have workforces do that too?
A lot of that work will get done by contractors because it's a major maintenance money. The hazard tree program has been all contractors at this point. So a lot of vegetation work has been done through veg management, or it's done through a contractor. And so the preventative maintenance money is, in that instance, is used to hire skilled climbers, basically, to cut down trees over houses. So done a lot this year.
So this this planning effort we're going through is sort of a product of what we talked about last fall. So we're setting up, first we have a scoring criteria, assessing all of our projects through and prioritizing based off that, utilizing strategic investment, business need, recreational need, DEI, and all of those things, and stewardship. So we're looking at all of those things. We're still going to take a few years before we have a complete understanding what our deferred maintenance list is. As we continue to go out there and get our Davis team up and running, is to get out there and look at all those. And so you're going to have parks and projects that you know of or your community knows of that aren't going to be on this list yet. But we're still building that. And so it's going to take us a few years. And then we'll continue to sort and do that. So we're that foundation and that process that came out of PROS plan is still there. And we're moving it forward. And we'll continue to do that. And just because we have about 5 projects to score, I want to make 100. It's not our score criteria, but 100. Doesn't always mean that those are the ones that get funded because of a variety of reasons. We don't have money for it. There's other things. And so we continue to look at that through, I call it the reality lens as well. And so we're going to pull something up, maybe it's a little bit lower, again, because of scale, mobilization, proximity, all those things to get to credit. Continue to move forward and make that that investment known across the whole city.
That being said, we are being very mindful when we're putting projects in our schedule to spread the love around the community, make sure that we're not concentrating in one PIP district. We want to be equitable in as many ways as we possibly can, and our prioritization in 2021 is sort of the jumping off point for the 2022 projects and the 2023 projects, because the list was pretty long. As Rocky said, once the planning and development team and even our ops team get sort of more familiar with the park system, because we've got a lot of new people in a lot of different places, we'll be able to add to the list of things that we need to do and prioritization process. It's just right now it's sort of finger in the wind. You know, I think that we need to spend some money over here because this thing is going to fall over.
So yeah, it's all coming together. You know, this year we're dialing in our process. Next year it'll just become, you know, rinse and repeat process wise. And so we'll probably be coming to you with this earlier for that public process. The objective is to get our capital plan update approved in November, so then it's approved and ready to go for when the county adopts their fiscal year 23 budget in December.
And we hope to be, as Rocky said, we hope to be doing this sort of 24 projection in the second quarter of 23, not the third.
Right.
So, yeah. So we're a little bit ahead of the curve. Got a lot to learn.
It's surfing, right? You know, it's real easy once you figure it out. It just takes a few waves.
Any questions on the CIP?
Well, with that, I guess we've got the Valkyma property conservation easement.
Yep. So
back to Danielle.
I'm back again. Danielle, for the record, Danielle Calvi. So the Valkyma family reached out recently. They are adjacent to Cedars Golf Course in Brush Prairie, Hawkinson, probably more Hawkinson than anything else. They're requesting a potential conservation easement for their piece of property. They would like to. They currently have a 5-acre parcel undeveloped. They would like to do a 1-2 acre conservation easement on the lower half. They're in the process of putting in a home, and they have timber, current timber use on the property. Salmon Creek flows through their property east to west. There is a piece, there's another stream that runs from north to south that connects to Salmon Creek. This particular conservation easement, it actually is identified as a high need in terms of part of the Natural Areas Acquisition Plan. And because it's viewed as prevention and protection of uplands of a particular watershed. It is also a salmon-bearing stream. That particular stream is known to have Salmonids, Coho, Winter Steelhead, and Chinook salmon. There is no official price. There's no official any of that. It's more of a conversation that has occurred with me and the family. And so I bring this to you for a, I guess, ask to see if we can proceed forward with, I guess, fleshing this out to see if it meets, you know, their needs financially as well as our conservation goals.
So just so I'm clear, they want you to buy that easement.
Yes,
they're not.
Correct.
Right. They want us to buy the lower half of this Salmon Creek, basically, that runs and connects to Cedar's Golf Course.
So since you will legally acquire their development.
Their development rights.
Their development. So we put a conservation easement over when they could not develop in the future.
Nobody else could either, which would be good for them.
Right.
So is that, is there a 5-acre minimum parcel requirement in that area?
I don't know that, but they're currently going through the land use process with
this in mind. If we develop their development rights, I think they can still use the acreage in regards to the 5-acre minimum.
Which is nobody else would be ever able to go in and develop it, which would probably be a good thing. So I have a question though. Isn't there like a 100-foot riparian zone requirement right there anyway, if there's a creek running through that nobody could develop it anyway?
There is a riparian or shoreline. There are those in impediments, you are correct. And so that if we were to move forward with this, the valuation that we'd be giving takes into consideration on that, so that the price break would be significantly lower than the upland where they could build on.
Okay.
In addition, because we were only buying the conservation easement, so it's not a dollar after dollar for increased value, so it'd be a reduction, whether that's 75 cents a dollar, whatever. This is something we've done on many other parcels around the county. We're currently working with the land trust on the Optimus on the north fork of the Lewis River. Again, the same sort of thing as to generate a little cash infusion that then provides us that long-term view shed and habitat area. So, and it's something we're looking to do with our farm easements as well, preserve farmland.
Well, I see that it's a real benefit to them because if you do that, my assumption is also that they no longer have to pay property taxes on that part of the property. Is that correct?
They would. The property taxes would be impacted, but we're not taking possession of it, right. So they still own the title.
Right.
So there would still be property taxes, but I'm not sure how that would get reduced. I'm sure there would be a reduction for sure because of that.
Permanent easement that they could never go back and sell.
Correct.
Correct.
The property part. So yes.
It's recorded.
Yeah,
kind of like a branded part.
So this is like essentially like the other ones we looked at earlier, where this would be a modification of the Natural Area Acquisition Plan if we were to move forward. And right now, this one's earlier in the discussions.
Is any of this actually wetlands now?
Along the stream, so that's actually Smith Bridge there.
Okay.
The county redid the stream through there recently, the last couple of years. It's for fish bearing.
Okay.
And so there are some plantings that the county is currently maintaining, but it's right along the footing of the bridge on one side. But I'm sure it's considered all repairing outside of it, frankly. It's all adjacent to that. Yeah, it's very similar topography. Yeah.
Kevin, is this the same property owner or is it close to the one where they're wanting to sell? Remember that same bridge? So about a year ago, with someone from the same general area that was approached, this is the same.
It's a different property owner. And the one that you're talking about is a little bit further south. No, you're right. It's northeast of this location.
Right.
But some of the questions were like, it's zoned R5. This is a 5-acre parcel. So the development rights, if we lock them up, would it would prevent any development. But they could, under current zoning, essentially construct one home on the property if they can go through all the permitting process of habitat, wetlands, and shorelines, assuming that those are all in play in this location.
Thank you. And just for PABs, we're going to be trying to do this. We take our 6-year approach and we set up our plan for natural area acquisitions. Again, property is it's an opportunity. And so we want to be flexible. We're looking at our sub areas and continue to come back to you as these opportunities. Because sometimes we have their property identified and the owner just isn't there yet. And so then we still have other needs to meet. So we're going to be doing this. And we're also looking at from the natural areas is looking for, we have a call for applications for other jurisdictions that are eligible to apply for kind of like a grant. We're looking at that as a system and determining what that cycle looks like. Is it every 6 years along with our PROS plan? Is there a mashed up with the PROS plan like the year before or a different frequency? So we're still trying to look into that to determine what that looks like. Or that's going to be based off of what our revenues look like in regards to our acquisitions. We still have to pay off. This year right now, we've got come to the parks or the county council meeting on August 16th, because there will be an acquisition review there. So that'll be there's my sneaker element for that. So that will be one that will be being considered. And then hopefully we have a few others to be following up right behind that, September and October. Any concerns in moving forward with our discussions with the Golf Camera property? Teresa?
Nope.
Don?
Next to the other ones that we've heard here this evening, this one seems to be less advantageous than the others. I mean, what's our angle? I know what the homeowner's angle is, but what's ours? Because whenever you involve water, those issues sort of take care of themselves, and I don't necessarily think that the county would be a required steward, because there's other regulatory requirements built in for landowners to take care of that property. But I wouldn't oppose it. Just that's an open comment for discussion.
Understood. And Kevin, philosophically, for these situations from a legacy lands perspective, any input?
Yeah, I would say that acquisition of the development rights in this location are pretty consistent with the natural areas acquisition plan and sort of that long-term vision of creating greenways along the major river courses like Salmon Creek, East Fork, Lewis River, etc. So you see big components of that already in place in certain locations in the county. So it continues to march along with that long-term vision of the natural areas acquisition plan. And I would also suggest that we, as we pursue development rights, that we also pursue public access along yes. with those development rights, because if you look at the way that this property aligns with the Cedars Golf Course, it allows you access to that next public road, which is immediately adjacent to this property. So then you have essentially public access through the greenway from, I think it's 142nd, yeah, 142nd all the way to the this access point on the east side of the golf course.
167, is that where the street bumps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Kevin, and bringing forward the recreational access. That's the assumption that got lost in discussion. All right, well, with that, I think we're at the roundtable time. Man, we got a whole hour and a half. This is making a lot of work.
Todd, you got anything?
Yeah, just a short snippet about if any of you have been along Washougal River Road on some of these busy summer days and been by mile marker 3, which is in Clark County, you'll notice there's a small parking area there where Discover Pass is required. There's a small CXT or outhouse. The garbage issue there is atrocious. When I went by there just a day ago, that trash was piled so high you couldn't get into the bathroom. I'm 5'8" and that trash was higher than me, both in length and height and width. It was a huge pile. That area is getting an incredible amount of use, and I don't know who owns it, but what I guess I'm looking for is a little bit of poking and prodding and maybe some attention so that the people that do own it, the agency, I think it might be Fish and Wildlife, I'm not really sure, can actually take care of some of that trash problem. Because I've made several calls and I get the long term on hold and we'll get back to you. And the mailbox is full, so I can't leave a voicemail. So I'm just throwing it out there. Let's see if anybody has any information on that site.
They said it requires a Discovery Pass.
There are signs posted there, so I'm assuming
a Forest Service property then.
It's not DNR, and I don't think it's the feds.
It is state ownership.
What's that?
Yeah, it's state ownership.
Yeah, it's state ownership.
DOT.
I think it's Fish and Wildlife. I think you're right about that. I'd have to look it up and confirm it, though. Yeah, I found it. It is. It's Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah. Okay. I will poke them some more. I mean, our areas are getting, even DNR areas are just getting overrun. So, you know, when I hear a homeowner talk of the RC track behind her house, that is the flavor, and that's the shiny object right now is to be outside and enjoy the sun and just find a parking spot, whether it be on dry grass or not. And I'm being as flippant and polite as possible. Thanks, Kevin.
Reese, do you have anything?
Nope.
Grants all come in. I've got a lot this year, and you know, last year we gave about $182,000, and this year everybody went, wow, they gave all the money, a lot of money, and things will look like for a big grant this year. So I've got Crown Park, I've got Kurt Creek, I've got the rest I can't remember off the top of my head, but I've got grants from several jurisdictions this year, so we'll see how it goes.
So you got a fundraising opportunity.
A lot of fundraising. I know I always laugh. The easy part is getting the grants and the hard part's raising the money. So
we have an event coming up that can help raise a little fun.
We have three events. If you're inclined and you have ever donated for Give More 24, the Parks Foundation is accepting donations that day. That is September 24th, I believe. And then our golf tournament is October 6th. If you like to golf, we'd love to have you field the team.
Foursomes.
foursomes. And then Booville is our free family event on October 29th. So, of course, we're always looking for sponsors, but if nothing else, bring your kids and come have a good time and trick or treat.
Booville's at
Vancouver Mall again. So we had about 1,500 kids last year. I expect a lot of that. 1,800 this year. So Frito-Lay is coming there, giving out chips. The library is giving out a free book to all the kids. They'll all get a free little pumpkin. It's a lot of fun. Kids all come in costume. You know, that's the best part. You get to watch all those little kids. They're so cute. So yes, I have three events. So if you're inclined to donate or if you'd like to develop, just give me a call. We'd be happy to help you.
Brother-in-law's.
Oh. There you go. I think the city's going to have a team. They did last year. Dave for like. Yeah.
Oh, well, then, yeah, I'm bringing some ringers.
Yeah, there you go.
I think we'll get Dave.
Oh, not golf.
It's a fun day. You can make a donation for a silent auction item, too, if you'd like. Lots of ways to help.
Silent auction.
Yeah, it's a barbecue already donated.
Right.
No, it's generally not. It's not true.
Well, I do have a gas. Thing in the back that's in my new home.
It's nice.
Needing something.
Open like a gas, natural gas connection.
Nice. Gas connection. Nice.
I think you can change those from propane to that, though.
Yeah, there you go. Get it. We'll get it
later.
Yeah. Good. All right. Anything else? Okay. Do we have a call for adjournment? With your feet. So moved.
Thanks, Raisa.
I hope it's. Are you back now, or are you still out in another place?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry. You said you were out and about. I thought maybe you were going
I was. To I was. Lunch. I was at the Clark County Fair, and time got away from me, and I got in my car at like 3:55. I'm like, oh my God. So the sound was terrible. I had a hard time hearing that woman that was, I got